So I have a extreme pleasure of introducing Bill Hernandez, who's on our staff as the prophetic overseer. He trains. He's got an amazing heart. He has a website, whispersoflove.net. Whispers with an S. of love.net, and he puts fresh words up there usually a couple times a month as he receives them. So his heart is amazing. I know most of you have heard him before, but just encourage you to open up your heart and let Holy Spirit minister to you and speak to you through Bill Hernandez. Can we honor Bill?
Thank you. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to share, and I was also thinking this is kind of appropriate because it's the end of the year, and for the coming year, a lot of amazing things are going to be happening, and I've been hearing prophetic words about that, that God is going to be amping it up. I've been hearing that here and there, right? Right? Yes. And so I said, okay, wonderful, that's great. So I do have this website. It is called whispersoflove.net. It used to be called whisperoflove.org. And then people would say, is it whispersoflove.org? I go, no, it's whisperoflove.org because I didn't get the whispersoflove.org. And then I discovered that whispersoflove.net is available. So perfect. And so I got that. So you can use either of those domain names and you'll go there. So I do publish my prophetic words that the Lord gives me from time to time. And then I also have my sermons there as well. So I will capture the audio and I will just put them there. So there's in there as well, so you can listen to them with aplomb. Anyway, so, all right, so I just recently just published a word. It's called simultaneous outpouring. And so I just thought I'm going to read it. I'm going to comment about it. And that there's two parts to it as well. It's not going to be a lot of reading. Right. So, anyways, I kind of read through it. I read through it. You know, it was probably like all of like 5 minutes of reading. But this is actually several other words. I kind of curated a few other words that the Lord had given me over the last couple of years, and I just wanted to read them because I felt that they were appropriate. You know, and I feel like there's like a theme. And so, anyway, so this recent word that I published was called simultaneous outpouring. And I remember several years ago, I did publish a word. I think it was called popcorn outpouring or something. And where I felt like the Lord was showing me, I could just see like this popcorn just popping all over the world. You know, one kernel would pop and then it would just pop elsewhere and then pop elsewhere. And before you knew it, it was going all over the world, all at once, just everywhere. And I remember the Lord showed me that, and I just kind of felt like he continues to remind me to, and then also this becomes a reminder for all of you and any new people that haven't read it. So any of these words, you know, you can go to my website and you can read them more if you want to. But this simultaneous outpouring, I'll just read. I felt like the Lord was reminding us that the next outpouring of I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I was thinking, you know, maybe what I can do is I can just kind of prophesy and just kind of do, you know, butterflies and unicorns. that kind of stuff. Do you guys want butterflies and unicorns? Or do you want this? You want this one? The butterflies? The butterfly? Butterfly? Okay. Okay. We'll do this one. Okay. All right. Or Psalm 119. Okay. Okay, I felt like the Lord was reminding us that the next outpouring of His Spirit will not be on orphan spirits. He said, I will be poured out on them that know that they are all, them that know that all they have is derived from me. He showed me that there were many who were jealous for position, power hungry, thirsty for accolades, desiring influence, competitive, and wanting to be first. I felt like he was saying, no one man, woman, or child will be first. And he said, a people will be first. A people who know who they are and who know that the Lord is their God. I'm going to read about the spectacle of character. It's from one of the words that I published. I felt like he was saying this, set aside wanting to be the next grand influence that ignites the faith of the world. You're not it. Rout out this soulish desire. Call it out. Confess it. Let it go. Repent and fall down before him. Receive his grace and be content with what you have. He can't be fooled by false humility and any devices you come up with to declare your motives, that your motives are pure in this matter. So some people like to pretend like, oh, you know, they're crying before the Lord and everything. And I feel like the Lord is just saying, that's just not going to move me anymore. That kind of thing. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. I'm looking for the real deal. Getting warm in here. I don't know if it's the heater or if it's the Lord is moving. Anyway, so it's the Lord is moving. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's powerful. Relationship with Him is not a formula. It's pure and honest. And this whole thing about relationship with this is not a formula. You know, I remember as I was growing in my own walk with the Lord and my own Christianity, you know, many years ago, 40 years ago or whatever, and, you know, or even before that, you know, they would talk about, well, you know, you need to have your devotion time because it's important, because it's respectful to the Lord and your relationship to Him, and you have to worship and you listen to worship songs and tithe and go to church and all these kinds of things. And it's kind of like it was all a big formula. And I feel like the Lord is saying that relationship with Him is not a formula. It's none of those behaviors. It's pure and honest. It's humble. Humility in this matter can't be manufactured. It's created and inspired by Him. Heaven's humility can only be imparted and not acquired by any means. It's something that's done to us, and all we can do is say yes. I remember I gave this word about the Lord hasn't just left it up to us to faith it and to rely on our own faith, our own hope, or whatever to see Him, to know Him, to feel Him, but that He's with us and He's imparted to us the ability to access Him. It's like He's helped us to find Him. I couldn't find Him on my own. There's no way. I couldn't manufacture the ability to see the glories of heaven. I mean, there was nothing that I could do. I mean, I tried. I tried smoking a lot of pot. It didn't work. Acid was a little closer, but... but there were diminishing returns, and it tended to fade, and it was expensive. Anyway, so But seriously, I mean, it's like the Lord gives us the ability to see Him, and I felt like the Lord. I remember I was talking to Him about relationship with Him. I said, "How can I get to know You more and whatever?" And He said, "I'm the one that created holy relationship. I am the author of love. I'm the author of relationship that works, and I'm going to show you how to have it with Me and Me with You. I'm going to do that. That's My responsibility." And so I said, okay, great. He says, so He went on to show me, He says, that we're not so much as being winnowed as we're being prepared and schooled by Him. He is our grand tutor, growing us up to full maturity. So I feel like He's just saying, give up being the next grand thing and focus on heart to heart with Him. And He said, the next grand thing will be a simultaneous outpouring, as if a switch was flipped to turn on a string of lights around the world. He has His hand on the switch. So it's kind of like all the lights are going to come on, but they're going to come on all at once. Not like a hot spot here and there. And I feel like the Lord kept telling me that. And it's kind of like He's going to equally pour this out on everyone. And He says that there's not going to be any one organization that say, we got it, or no, we got it, or come to us and come and get it from us and carry the flame back to where you came from. That happened, you know, I remember with a Toronto renewal, and the same thing with Vineyard, because I was involved in both of those. When we used to go to Vineyard, we used to go down to Anaheim, to Los Angeles. Go down and there's like, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in this auditorium. We'd go there, we'd get the vision, we get the power, the anointing, the power, you know, the power healing thing, and bring it back across the world. Well, the same thing happened with Renewal. People went up to Toronto and you go over there and you bring it back. It was just amazing how that happened. I remember we went up there and the staff were just falling all over the place, and we just brought it back. We just came back laughing our heads off, and before we know it, everybody's laughing their heads off. It was just interesting how that happened, you know? It was strange. But anyway, He said it was a futility to make it happen and to ask yourself, what's the real motive behind that if you're trying to make it happen? He said, what's really behind any noble religious reason for it? What's it really personally about? And you have to ask Him. So I realize that this word is for a lot of people who are in leadership, you know. And the Lord gives me words for people who are in leadership or eventually going into leadership or something like that. But this is something to keep in mind as you grow. And as you become a leader, you have to ask yourself, what are your motives for trying to make things happen? And so, but I feel like the Lord is just kind of saying, I'm just not going to play with that anymore. I'm not going to play that game anymore. You know, it's like He's upping the standards or something. So He's just saying, so ask Him for wisdom and He will tell you if you are willing to hear the answer. Sometimes the answer reveals lies and misconceptions, twisted motives, sorrows, selfish ambition, and orphan spirit, or things hard to admit. Those things lead to healing, purity, and peace when confessed before Him. He brings change when we do. So He's calling us into this place of deep intimacy to share with Him everything. And you've heard me talk about disclosure, but to really look at your motives about what you're doing and what you're trying to, are you trying to make something happen? And He's just saying, just come to Me and just see if you're just trying to find security and well-being, you know, by being the next great, wonderful thing, or a legend in your own mind, or a legend in other people's minds. As an aside, I felt like the Lord was asking me personally. He said, what if I never experienced a powerful outpouring again as I've seen in the past? Would I be okay with that? Would we be okay with that? What if nothing like that happened that we've experienced in the past? And then obviously I said yes. And I believe I did because my intimate relationship with him is enough. This is where our existence all hinges. And it does in this deeply personal, eternal, holy union with him and him with us. So if there was no more outpouring at all, nothing happening globally or anything like that, I would be okay with that because what I have, no one can take away from me. No one can take that away. And the thing is that I know that that in this relationship, that he has kept me from sinking beneath the waves. So he is the one that keeps me buoyant. So in the past, it was so very clear to me, especially when I was going through a lot of personal deep things, that I just would look to him. And I said, Lord, I said, you're the one that is keeping me afloat. You're keeping at least my nostrils above the water so that I can at least breathe. You're the one that keeps me sane. He's the one that keeps us sane. And he's the one that has the answers. He's our only hope and our only, the only person that we can really run to, our last recourse. He's our final recourse. I mean, for anything, if everything goes wrong, we can come to him and he's going to be there to support us and we'll never lose that at all. So no great grand outpouring of his spirit flowing all over the place and people falling all over the place or whatever happening is going to take away my own angst, as it were. But he will. So simultaneous pouring, outpouring part two. The Lord was showing me that an outpouring of his, the Lord was, this is terrible English. The Lord was showing me that what was coming with the outpouring of his spirit was an unexpected element. His power and anointing will flow through a mature and thoughtful people. But I thought when he was sharing that with me, I felt like he was just, he was saying, characteristic of this next move will be no nonsense. It's kind of like, it's going to be like the real deal. This is where the rubber meets the road. No more game playing, no more, you know, I don't know what, lying to yourself and lying to him and your relationship with him. No more avoiding the light, the truth, any of that. And he's just saying, I want the real deal. I want the real you. And I'm going to show you the real me. Show me the real you and I will show you the real me. I think last week I was sharing with, I can't remember who it was, Colleen, and I was telling her, I said, you know, if you want to see the glory of God, then show him all of who you are. And he will show you all of who he is. Show him your brokenness, and he will show you with your inconsistency. Look at me, I'm horrible, I did this horrible thing. And then what he will show you in place of that, he will just say, I love you, and I'm on your side, and I'm all for you, and I'm fully vested in your wholeness. I stand beside you, I stand above you, I stand below you and around you. I will never let you go. And so that, for when he does that, and I've shared this before, I said, when he does that, what he's doing is, that's his glory. His glory is that everlasting love that never fails. So, which is, whoa, I know, when you think about it, you know, when you think about it, and so it's kind of like, so this, no nonsense part, this no nonsense thing is, you open yourself to him, no nonsense, no games, and he shows you his glory. He shows you his glorious patience and empathy. Remember he told me, he said, I am the God of empathy, and I totally get you. It will be deep and rich with wisdom and experience. There will be a depth of holiness and encounters with Him. Every ministry effect and every teaching will have long-lasting consequences and even for eons. So this relationship that He's calling us into, that we're already in it, and He's drawing us deeper and deeper into it, so that when we're going out in ministry, the ministry effect will have long-lasting effect that can go on for eons, or famously, in eons, people will write songs and books about it and articles about it because of the depth of it and the beauty of what God is going to be doing through us in this relationship that we have with Him. This will be because of the purity of what He's going to do through us. It will be like the glory of the Lord that came into the temple like a cloud in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read you that in 2 Chronicles 5. 13. Well, I feel like I'm going to pop any moment. So anyway, Second Chronicles 5. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. This is they come into the temple, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. So it's going to be like the glory cloud that entered the room at the Azusa Street revival. I could see people left behind on the shore in this word that the Lord's given me. And I could see in a vision. I said, I could see people left behind on the shore. And the Lord said, they were the conjurers. I said, the conjurers? And He goes, yes. They will be the people who try to make things happen through religious activities and crowd management techniques. They are the people who are close to Him and yet so very far away in being heart to heart with Him. He said they will be left behind in entering into a powerful manifestation of His presence. They won't get it until they have learned to walk with Him in depth and oneness. Oh, man. So I feel like the Lord's going to be giving me more about this, you know. I think I'm, you know, this whole thing of like, this is like really, really super, super serious. I mean, this is, like I said, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where God is going to do His thing. He's going to do His thing. And also, He's not leaving us alone. He's not leaving us to fend for ourselves to try to make that deep, holy relationship happen or that heart-to-heart. I said, you know, sometimes I have difficulty having heart-to-heart with Him sometimes. You know, for whatever reason, you know, I just get stubborn or I just fall back on stuff. And, you know, just because we disclose things to the Lord and just because we're open to Him, yes, there might be some temporary relief. Yes, He might say, oh, I love you and everything. Doesn't necessarily some of the stuff gets erased right away. Some things take a long time to heal. Sometimes it takes a long time for old habits to fall away. And so, but he said, regardless, I don't care about all that stuff. What I care about is that you and I are together and never leave my sight. Never let me go. Just stay in the light. Stay with me. In Hebrews 4, it says that we can come to the throne with confidence. That's what that all about. That we can come to Him in confidence no matter what. And He wants us to continue to do that. And so by him doing that, that's part of the help he's giving us. He's helping us to, he's saying, you can come to me and don't worry about anything. That's part of the help of him helping us to develop that relationship of intimacy and frankness with him. That's part of the help when he's rooting us on and saying, come to me in confidence. I'm not mad at you. I'm not disappointed in you. And if you blow it again and again and again, I will love you again and again and again and again and again and again and again. I will love you more than your unfaithfulness. I will love you even more than that. So there you have it. So you can't run away from my love. So I go, okay. Okay, Lord. I think sometimes it's hard for our flesh to accept that. That's why we have to keep hearing the teaching. I felt like the Lord just showed me. He said, it's just the habit of the flesh and the habit of the world that you live in. That's why it's hard. That's why you need to keep on hearing it. That's why you need to keep hearing it again and again and keep on being rooted on and just, you know, cheered along, right? I think that's one of the reasons why I believe it says in Hebrews, it says, do not forsake fellowship with one another. You know, it's not that you're committing spiritual adultery. Before it was kind of, oh, you didn't go to church. That's called spiritual adultery. Because it says right there in Hebrew that you're not supposed to forsake fellowship because it's a sin if you do. Christmas on a cracker. Anyway, so I don't know why I said that. Anyway, it's Christmas. Anyway, so so I'm going to read this other word. I mentioned to you that I had curated some of the words. I just pulled out just a few of these words. And there's more of these lovely words on my website. And so so this one is called The Spectacle of Character. And I wrote this back in April of 2023. And wait just a minute. Did I miss something? No, I didn't miss anything. No, I didn't. Okay. We often long to see incredible miracles and awesome moves of the Lord's Spirit, but these have come and gone throughout history. Most of us have seen the Lord sweep the planet with revivals, which eventually ebbed. We want to see that again. He showed me that character growth and love are longer lasting, forever more, and spectacular. So I found this explanation of character online, because that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about character, right? Mature character is often associated with qualities such as honesty, integrity, compassion, empathy, self-discipline, and self-control. It's demonstrated by consistent behavior that aligns with these values and beliefs, even in the face of adversity or temptation. A person with mature character is able to make responsible decisions and take ownership for their actions, even when faced with difficult situations. They're able to empathize with others, maintain healthy relationships, and be accountable for their mistakes. Overall, developing mature character is an important part of becoming a well-rounded, responsible adult. And I feel like the Lord is working on building all of these things into our lives. That's what he's working on it. And if you feel that some of these things are missing in your life, don't get down on yourself. He's fully aware. And he has a perfect plan for you, a perfect meal plan just for you, tailored just for you. And he's working on it. And he's getting you to that place. He's getting you there. He's getting you there. And he's saying, do not condemn yourself. And do not compare yourself to others. Because we like to do that. He's holier than me. You know, Bill can write that, read that stuff and whatever, write that stuff because he's got that character and I just don't. I go, wrong. You didn't see me yesterday. Anyway, but... we're all kind of in the same boat together, growing, right? Over the last few years, the Lord has been working on our hearts, going deeper and deeper into intimacy with us. He has been changing us from the inside out and ultimately refining our character. He showed me that the angels in heaven erupt into song and rejoicing as we grow and develop in character, because in heaven, this is seen as amazing and beautiful before all heavenly hosts. We are, as it were, clothed with beauty and jewels when they look at us. Isn't that amazing? That they erupt into song when we make a mature choice. When we finally, and we do it from the heart, right? That we truly are transformed. And the angels erupt into song. They party. They're partying on our behalf up there. Yeah. Isn't that cool? In a vision, I saw a hole open up in the sky, and we were being lifted up into heaven. Rather than heaven coming down to us, we were going up into it. So in 2007, this is the vision that I had as he's giving me this word. In 2007 at Bethel in Reading, you know, I witnessed this incredible phenomena where this golden dust appeared out of nowhere. Twinkling and sparkling and glinting above us. If you could, and so many of you have heard that story, and so some of you haven't, but it was sparkling, and it looked like, you know, when you looked at it, you said, somebody's got to be up there, you know, with glitter and just throwing out hands full of it, and someone has a fan blow, you know, one of those oscillating fans blowing this dust, you know, around. But it wasn't. Because when you looked at it, when you saw it, it looked like the, you know, when the sparklers on 4th of July, you know how they're really, really bright and they're just kind of like glittery, but it's all up in the rafters, all up in the lights. It was just sparkling. It was just like, the, and then it was falling on. It was just beginning to fall all over us, and we were covered with it. We were all sparkly. If you wore black, I said, darn it. You know, I wish I had worn black, you know, so because my, you know, I can't remember what I was wearing. I think I was wearing plaid or something, right? But my friend had a black jacket on, and he was covered with all the sparkles, you know. And so we're all in amazement, and almost immediately, people weren't like so much marveling at the sparkle, but at this glory cloud. Really, it was the glory cloud of the Lord. Because we had just such a wonderful conference, and this was like the culmination of it. And what happened was that everybody's hands just went straight up. Everyone's just worshiping immediately, just worshiping. And at one point, I looked at the, I remember I turned and I looked at the stage, and it was about, oh, maybe, like, let's say this is, we're up on the stage, so it's like right here, in the, like up here. Just out of the clear blue, all of a sudden, a big puff of the sparkles went, poosh, like this. And it was just like, you're kind of going, oh, my God. I said, that's not an oscillating fan. And that was nobody throwing glitter from the behind the curtains. It was out in the clear open, and it just poof. And it was all over us, and it was falling up. It was falling up. It was going, I said, oh, my God, it's falling up, you know. We want to follow it, you know. We're trying to grab it. I remember we were trying to grab it. I did go up to the stage afterwards, and there was the glitter on the, you could see the stuff on the stage, and we're all picking it up. We're just kind of going, oh, my God, you know. We're just doing all this kind of stuff. And then it would just disappear. It would just vanish. So that was interesting. So with my friend's jacket, I asked him, I said, the next day, I said, do you still have the sparkles on your jacket? And it completely disappeared. It just dissolved into nothing. So I just feel like, you know, when the Lord showed me this word, where I saw this hole open up in the sky and we were falling up, but we were being caught up into heaven rather than heaven coming to us, that we're being lifted up there into heavenly places. And this is what it's going to be like when he pours out his Spirit on all of us in a greater way. I mean, he's already pouring it out now. So I felt like I felt like he was pulling us up to meet the sky. And I also felt like the unity of the Spirit and having one mind is a grand spectacle before the angels. He showed me that the more we let him in, the more we come before the all-seeing eyes of the Lord that governs all we do. Once we do honest with him, we can't go back to hiding and remain forever exposed and aware of the all-seeing eyes of the Lord. So I noticed, you know, personally, you know, as I have been working on, you know, just my own relationship with him and becoming more and more honest, that I become more and more aware that he is aware of everything that I'm doing, that he's right there all the time, looking over my shoulder, listening to every word that I say. I know that he heard what I just said. I know that he felt what I just felt. I know that he just saw what I just saw. I become more and more aware of that. And I'm not scared. And I'm just thinking, he's a constant companion. There's this hymn. What was that hymn? It was, he walks with me and talks with me. What? Is that the name of it? In the Garden? A long life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. You tell me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I used to hit a higher notes. Used to be, but as I've gotten older. Anyway. I felt like, and then in July 8th, I believe it was this year, I wrote this thing about the crucible. And I felt like the Lord was showing me that we're all in a crucible right now. And that the Lord, in a crucible, when you heat up the gold, they want to purify it and all the impurities come out. And that's what he's doing right now. And that when we come before him and we're honest with him, all the impurities start to come out. And I'm just saying, don't be afraid of the impurities coming out and for him to be showing you these things. This is a good thing because he's lifting it up and scraping it away. But while he's doing it, while he's doing all of that, he says, oh, look at impurities. Oh, my beautiful darling. Oh, I just love you so much. Oh, let's get some of this out of the way. But I love you. This is wonderful. You're doing great. Wonderful. This is perfect. It's exactly as it's supposed to be happening. And I'm purifying you. So, and he's cheering you on while he's doing this, right? So the Lord has been preparing us in intimacy with him for what he is about to do across the world. He's peeling away the old that we would emerge as he has wrought us full of wisdom and holiness. Because this next move of God will be like no other. It will be several degrees increase of power and anointing above previous pourings. And it's going to require an ability to walk in our true identity. It will be a genuine walk in our higher selves that's not legalistic, rule-keeping, or performing for God. We won't be able to fake it. It will be natural and second nature to walk in newness of heart, mind, and soul. We can't rush it. And I think that this is really important. He says, we can't rush it, but we are encouraged to be proactive with the realities of life that are in front of us. So I feel like the Lord is saying, we can't rush it. People have been saying, well, when is it? I keep hearing it. Keep talking about the outpouring. I've been hearing it until people are just turning blue talking about it, you know? So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's been 6 months. Where is it, you know? But, you know, back in 97, 98, this was after the Toronto outpouring where, you know, you could just do this like that and then everyone would fall over, literally. They would just start bursting into tears and crying and laughing and whatever was going, screaming their heads off, going crazy. And so then around 1998, I felt like the Lord was showing me that there was this great outpouring that was coming. I go, I thought we just had one. And he says, no. This is like the real deal, like the one that Paul Kane talked about, where stadiums are going to be filled with millions of people, and there was going to be this great outpouring of power and anointing that was coming. And this was back in 97 when the Lord gave me this. And he was giving other people the same words. So ever since then, you keep hearing this kind of a theme. It's thematic kind of a thing. And that the Lord is constantly interjecting and saying, it's coming. It really is coming. But it's almost kind of like we're like little kids, you know, where our parents are taking us to Disneyland in the car, something like that. Are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No. Daddy, are we there yet? No. Dad, are we there? No. No. We've only gone a block. Are we there yet? So I felt like he said, we are called upon to choose what our higher selves it says, we are currently becoming the perfect landing strip onto which heaven will fall. Our closest to him will prevent us from the abuses of past revivals and misguided religious practices. Why? Because we will have been purified in our motives. We'll be more discerning. And he's showing me that we are crowning like an infant ready to be birthed or breaking out of the chrysalis like a butterfly. So he was just showing me that's coming. I think, didn't you share about butterflies and chrysalises last year? Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. Let me see. Gradual versus suddenly. This is January 2022. I remember I was sharing with Colleen about the chrysalises, that once in a while we would find like a, you know, one of those chrysalises and we touch it and it would start to wiggle. Do you remember that? Sometimes they wiggle if you play with them. So anyway. Yeah. So this is called Suddenlies. And this was from January of 2022. And we are in the beginning stages of a huge move of the Lord. A prophetic pastor I had known for years shared with me that the Lord showed him it was going to be 10 times bigger than the Toronto blessing in the mid-90s. And I remember when he told me that, I felt this chill go through my body, like tingling when he shared this with me. I can't remember who it was. Who was it that showed me what prophetic pastor it was? Might have been Doug Addison, possibly, you know. The Lord showed me in a vision the crew compartment of a ship where the hammocks held sleeping crew. So there, you imagine there's the hammocks and they're sleeping in these things. And that's us. We're in these hammocks and we're in this ship. In the ceiling of this room, I could see the hatch to the deck partially cracked open with a small, brilliant stream of sunlight pouring in. He said, this is where we are at now. The hatch was slowly opening, and he said that the hatch would not be thrust open all at once, but gradually open. He then showed me a runner or a sprinter needing to stretch and warm up before positioning himself at the starting blocks. He then showed me a baby in the womb with the head pointing down toward the birth canal, which I think is really amazing. How does that baby know? He starts paddling around in the womb and says, okay, it's 9 months, time to paddle, head down. I don't know how that happens. How do they know to do that? It's weird. He then showed me a plane on the runway. I know it's God. That's what it is. God does it. Anyway, he flips them. Anyway, he then showed me a plane on the runway building up speed before lifting off. He wants to make clear that we are being eased into an incredible move of his spirit. He wants us to get used to moving more and more into this and to take it one step at a time, like a sprinter warming up and stretching before the gun goes off, rather than experiencing his great move suddenly. He is gradually increasing it day by day. By the mere fact that we have faith in this and eagerly await it, by the mere fact that we have faith in it, how many of you have faith and believe that this is coming? Raise your hand. And I felt like he was showing that is part of the outpouring. By the fact that you have that faith is part of that outpouring, the beginning part of it. Isn't that interesting? So we are already in the outpouring, the stream of light beaming down from heaven. Wow, wow. So anyhow, I feel like the Lord is just saying, just keep up the good work and just keep coming to me and keep on opening your heart before me and keep on, standing by my side and just, and keep on not condemning yourself and let go of false guilt. And stop punishing yourself, he's saying. And just become more and more comfortable in your relationship with me. He's saying, I want you to keep on doing that. And to also understand it's not going to happen overnight. And that each of you are different. Each of us has our own history. Each of us is resolving our own history. And so I feel like he's just saying, be patient. And I am moving. And by the mere fact that we're even able to do this, because, you know, this kind of message or these kinds of messages that we've been giving, you know, 30, 40 years ago, we would have said, that's like heresy or something. There's something wrong with that, you know. Where's the messages about, you know, if you sin against God, you're going to go to hell? Where's hell, you know? Where's the punishment, you know, if you do something wrong? You know, that kind of a thing. You know, back then they probably would have just said, oh, that's just the gospel of cheap grace. It's not. Well, obviously, it's not. So I feel like this is really revolutionary and amazing how the Lord is, where he's taking us as a people, not just as blazing fire, but as a body across the world. We aren't the only ones that God is doing this. And, you know, it's going to be just pretty amazing. I remember when renewal hit back in those days, in the early days of Vineyard, that we were doing all this stuff and we're all like, wow, this is like a lot of fun and this is interesting. And I didn't realize that I could lay hands on people and they would just start laughing or getting healed and that kind of a thing. It was just whatever. But I didn't really realize the implications of what was going on. But it was kind of like a free ride, really. The Lord has given us a free ride. He's like, giving you a free ride. That's what I was doing. You know, I was just releasing all of that to you. I was just throwing it all on you. And even after the whole renewal thing that the Lord was showing me, he says, you know, I've given you all this stuff for free. I've just been throwing it on you to you can have fun and all that stuff. He says, now I want you to come to me. Come to me. Let us walk together. So it's almost kind of like no more free ride, but the ride that we're going to get is the real deal. Does that make sense? It's like it's going to be like the real deal. And I was just trying to think. I said, well, what's the real deal? How can I compare that? I don't know. You know, more recently I made cornbread. I had a hankering for cornbread. You know, what is it? Whole Foods has this cornbread that was really, really good. I really, really liked it. So I went there. They didn't have it. So I said, I got to have it. So, you know, I went. So I drove to Novato, and they didn't have it there. And the Lord says, make it yourself. So I made it myself, and I found it, you know. If you go get the Red Hill, Bob Red Hills, whatever, the medium grind corn meal will make the most amazing cornbread. However, the thing is, I like bread, but I like yeast bread as opposed to the quick bread. A quick bread, you're putting baking powder in it, right? And so you put baking powder in it and you get something in 45 minutes with yeast, which has way better flavor, right? It's just more complex. It's just wonderful. It's addicting, right? And you're looking at 3 to 4 hours to get this quality thing, right? So I feel like the Lord is just kind of saying, you know, this next outpouring is not quick bread. This is going to be the yeast. It's going to take the time. It's going to take the quality, and it's going to be wonderful and marvelous. It's going to have wonderful flavor. We are going to have wonderful flavor in the world that's going to last for eons. And some of our names are going to be continued. You know, we're going to be writing hymns, you know, like the He walks with us and talks with us. Whoever wrote that song, that was what, from 150 years ago or something like that? Right, a long time ago, right? So anyway, so I'm going to pray. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you enable us to walk with you, that you enable us to have intimate relationship with you, that you enable us to be able to disclose ourselves to you without fear, that you are the author of safety in relationship, that you are the author of love, that you are the author of accountability. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us in and showing us how to have true relationship with you that will last forever, forever and ever and ever. And I just thank you, Lord, that your character is being impressed upon us. That when we open up ourselves to you, we become like you because we see your glory. We see the glory of your love, the glory of your acceptance, the glory of your holy care, the glory of your holy, holy patience and goodness towards us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear you. Thank you for enabling us and for drawing us into this wonderful relationship with you. And we want more. We want more, Lord. We want more. I felt like the Lord was showing me that as he does this more and more and more, we're going to be seeing it. There's other words that I wrote there on my website about where healings are going to be commonplace. I mean, miraculous healings. We're going to see eyeballs pop out, right? Limbs appear, like it did in the Azusa Street. If you have an opportunity, and I always like to remind people of this, is to get this book. It's called They Told Their Story. Azusa Street, you read that. It's going to blow your mind of the things that they saw, the incredible, incredible miracles. And I feel like the Lord was saying, that's what's coming and more. And it will be commonplace, and it won't just be a couple of people here and there that can do this, but that we're all going to be doing it. We're all going to be doing it. Whoosh. Anyway, well, there you have it. There concludes my talk. Anyway.
Thank you so much. As only Bill can do, that was so good. Really, really good. Bill, here's one verse that encapsulates so much of what you said. 1 John 3:20. This is a crazy verse. If our hearts condemn us, which they often do, our own hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. It's pretty much what Bill just preached. He knows everything. Our hearts will give us the wrong message sometimes. We have to know He's greater than that. Okay? Bill, thank you so much.